The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
This is Celebration Sunday. We have completed our 21-day fast. Hallelujah! 21 days of vegetables over. Yuck! Come on. So one of the things we want to do is give you a chance to just share something you may have learned, something you've experienced, some insights you have, what your fast was like. So the floor is open. Who wants to share? There you go. Ms. Gail.
I went into this fast with some doubt because for someone who had food addictions, a fasting is a scary proposition. But I asked God to give me something to hold on to help me through it. And his word was, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And the word of my testimony was, through his strength, through my weakness, I count on his strength. When I am weak, he's strong. And through his strength, the last 3 weeks, I have overcome the compulsive binging at night. And his strength has gotten my blood sugar within normal range for 3 weeks, first time in 7 months. Wow. And through his strength, I've lost an additional 6 pounds.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And he told me that if I continue on using his strength, that he'll always be there for me.
Hallelujah.
And that this can be a new lifestyle for me.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm just giving him the praise.
Glory,
it's his
glory,
strength.
Glory.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice with Gail, Lord, that the victory is hers in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, just before we go on, I think sometimes we miss the magnitude of something that was said in this place. Gail has battled since I've known her, just battled. And to hear her say that she's finally got a victory, I mean, this is not demeaning, but it's like somebody hooked on crack cocaine and can't get free. And they suddenly, through the power of God, get free. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for joining us on the fast. I know it's hard for you. But boy, I tell you, to hear you say that, man, makes it worthwhile. Amen, amen. Okay, Ms. Summer, I just couldn't let that get by.
I was just going to share that since I was doing the Daniel fast, I decided to read Daniel again. And I guess what I got out of it this time that I'd not seen before or whatever, eyes weren't open to, was, you know, Daniel was always faithful to God. He never compromised. He never tried to fit into the society of that day. He didn't try to make it easy on himself. But he always stayed faithful to God. And so God was always faithful to him. Always faithful, no matter what. He had trials. He had things come against him. And, it says that during one of his 21-day fasts that Satan had come against him. And the Archangel Michael had to fight him off. But he always stayed faithful, and God always rewarded him in the end. So even though, I guess, not very good at this, but, you know, God had favor on him always, but he still had problems. But he never let it affect him. He just hung in there, stayed faithful, and God always rewarded him in the end.
Good testimony.
I wasn't paying attention. I was in the back, so I don't know everything that she said, so in case I repeat myself.
We'll correct you.
Okay. Oh, she will. But, you know, I just want to give thanks and glory to God because he has answered so many prayers during this fast. He has opened doors. He's just begun to deal with us in a lot of areas that we need to grow in. He's got me a job, at least a part-time job right now. And maybe a full-time. I'm going to be working for Expedia Cruise Ship Centers in Mandeville, so y'all know where to come. But, yeah, we love doing that. The only thing I can think of that I'd love to do more than sing for Jesus is going on cruises. So, but that's right. That's right. And it's just been an incredible period of growth for us in our relationship, just being more disciplined and staying in the Word more than we have, and just getting involved in and just with other people and loving other people, being more conscious of the Spirit and praying for people. And being there, and can't wait till next year. I'm sure you'll give you can give us a mid-year fast, can't you?
Amen.
Well, sometimes God does so many things, it's almost like, where do you start? But from the very beginning, and I shared this with Sister Pat, the 21-day fast for me is different than the Daniel fast. My addiction, Gail, has always been for sweets. And for me, that was a big sacrifice this time. After 2 years of fighting the battle of trying to move out of the bathroom into the regular part of the house with the Daniel fast, I said, I give it up, Lord. I'm just going to go strictly with giving up the sweets and, you know, living in the Word. Okay, couple of days as we're into the fast, my brother's father-in-law passed away. In a time of great sorrow, I learned what great joy comes out of an experience with a man who is the head of a corporate business in New Orleans, came to the wake, and we got to talk, and we went to sit down and have coffee. 35 minutes I sat there and talked with this man and told him all about Jesus, about getting in the Word, about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know what's the way for you, look to Jesus. If you want to know what's the truth, look to Jesus. If you want to know where life is, it's in Jesus. So out of this day of sorrow, the rest of the family was crying and grieving, and I was rejoicing, just so happy, floating on a cloud. And I thank the Lord for that. That was at the beginning of the fast. Yesterday, I was booked to do a very big jewelry show for 15 people, and I knew I was going to be making several hundred dollars out of this show. And the show got canceled at the last minute because the lady whose home we were going to do it in, her father took very, very ill, and they were contemplating he might have to be shipped to the hospital. So I was, needless to say, I was all set and ready to go, walk out the door, and then this happened on the phone, and I got very disappointed. But at the same time, my friend, the manager over at Winn-Dixie, said, well, why don't you come on over here and do a show here? So I said, okay. So my car was packed and loaded and everything. And I get there to the show. They already had me set up and everything. All I had to do was just lay out my stuff. And all day, let's say about 4 hours, I was there. And all I had was one sale. And it was for a beautiful Italian blown glass fleur-de-lis, which was very meagerly priced. But anyway, you know, after that, I packed up all my stuff after 4 o'clock, whatever, and came home. And I was feeling a little disappointed that I didn't have this big show. This morning, God gives me the revelation of why this happened. I was focusing on the wrong thing. Yesterday, this lady who bought this item just had open heart surgery 2 months ago. She died 3 times on the operating table, was coded. And they had to install some kind of device in her stomach that constantly shocks the main artery to keep the heart going. So as we were talking, and I asked her, I said, "Did you go to heaven?" She said, "Yes, I did." "Did you see Jesus?" "Yes, I did." All her family, she saw all her family. She saw the Lord. They were all sitting down in a meadow, and he was talking with them. And they were enjoying his presence, just soaked up into his presence. And I really wanted to ask her so many, many questions, but I knew she was tired because she was walking very slow. So at the end of this explanation she gave me, I said, "What is your name?" And she said, "Karen." I said, "Karen, let me pray for you." So I took her hand, and I prayed for her out in the front of Winn-Dixie's door with people coming and going, and I didn't care because the Lord was in control. And I prayed God's healing for her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. The woman bowed her head, and she held on to my hand so tightly. And she asked me, "What is your name?" And I told her. She said, "I'll never forget you." And I told her, I said, "I'll never forget you. And I'll keep praying for you." And then she, you know, we just said our goodbyes and she left. But God showed me the joy in the midst of sorrow in the beginning, and the compassion and the love at the end. And this is the message today, to tell my people I love them. And so this, for me, might not have been the greatest physical fast I've ever done, but spiritually it's been a marvelous, marvelous experience for me. I had a revelational dream, too. This is something I've really prayed about my brother's father-in-law dying. God gave me a total dream all about, and he wasn't in the dream, but God sent an angel in an old part of New Orleans, which he was old, 88. The angel was the messenger of God coming to receive his soul and his spirit. And I called this man out of a bus stop. Would you believe this? I would never, ever in all of my life ever do this in reality. He was standing at a bus stop where I used to go catch the bus to go to work. And I called him out and I said, "Would you please come here?" And he said, "Who, me?" I said, "Oh, yes, you." And he was the angel. And so he got into my car, and I said, "I've got to go someplace, but I don't know exactly where it is. I need somebody to help me." And so I'm driving, and he's looking, and he's saying, "No, let's get out, park the car here and get out, and let's walk." And we did. And come to find out, I never could find my car, because my car was the vehicle of transportation to heaven for the angel to take Papa Perry to heaven. And I just thank the Lord for that. And I've prayed, "God, give me a higher realm of interpretation of dreams and visions." And so that's my prayer for the future, that God will use me in this mighty way. And I'm just awed, just totally awed by what God has done in my life.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Rose.
And I give him all the praise and all the thanks. Hallelujah. And all the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Gary?
I just want to read a little scripture real quick. It's in Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." Earlier in the month, at the beginning of the month, I had put in an application for a prison ministry. This is something I've always wanted to do. I had to put in the application, and we went through the recommendation from Pastor Morris, and there's a lot of things that was involved. And I got to thinking, yeah, Satan does. You ain't worthy. Because I wasn't hearing anything back from these people. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. There might be skeletons or trash or junk in your trunk, and you just can't get out. And you're not worthy. You're not good enough. I get an email message the other day, end of last week. It said, congratulations, you've been accepted into the Kairos Prison Ministry. I went through my first training yesterday. Satan might come along and try to pry your fingers off, but whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't let go. Just, you might not hear anything, but don't listen to Satan. Don't let go. Just keep plodding on, and you'll overcome.
Amen. Good report. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hey, Jim. Come on up here where we can see you. Out of the media room.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not.
You can do it. You can do it. I'm right here by your side.
Part of my testimony of the fast is going to include a song. I should know to hold this up of all the people here. And Betty's always after me to sing. In fact, I think she said one time she's going to have me sing at her funeral, but we don't know for sure who's going first, do we? We'll get Rose to pray for it. Maybe the angel will come on my behalf to sing for you. When the fast started, I, like Morris, go on a total water fast for 3 days to sort of just get my body used to doing without. But when I started, I just had no inspiration. I just felt kind of cool and in neutral. So I kept praying over and over, Lord, show me what you would like me to focus on for this fast. At the end of the third day, he answered me and he said, focus on me. He said, you don't need anything else. You don't need to do anything. Just focus on Jesus. And so this fast has been a tremendously uplifting trip of literally trying to live in the moment and just experience Christ in that moment, whatever it was. They've not all been up moments, but they've been very few down moments, because when I remember that Christ is in there with me, nothing can go wrong. He's just trying to teach me, sometimes the hard way with a baseball bat, that nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through his hands. Nothing. Whether I see it good or bad, hard or easy, he's in it with me every step of the way. The other thing that was brought to focus was what Miss Pat mentioned about Jim Dixon and teaching the reality of Christ in us and the freedom that brings. And one of the things that became apparent as I went through the fast and just this morning, the final step kind of in that revelation, was that we allow Satan to use things that look really good on the outside, things that are familiar, things that cause us to have a warm emotional feeling. We allow those things to distract us from actually focusing on Jesus himself. We get caught up either in the emotion of it, and we don't really listen or hear or know the reality of what's happening. So two things happened this morning, and I'm going to try and sing one verse of this little song, Living for Jesus. And you think about the words and see what it brings to your heart and mind. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. That was written by Thomas Chisholm in 1917. I've heard that song since I was a little bitty tyke in the First Baptist Church I ever went to, which was a storefront Baptist church in St. Louis, Missouri. I love the song because it makes me feel good inside. But you know what? Christ doesn't want us to live for him. God does not want us to live for him. He wants us to live in Christ because Christ already lives in him. Christ in us, us in Christ, and all of us in God himself. Not living for Jesus, living in Jesus. It's a critical, critical thing. I love this song. And I know the sentiment and the meaning that's behind it. It really means to choose to do what God is asking you to do, which is live in Christ moment by moment. Would you take that top one, Marsh? It's quiet. It's early. My coffee is hot. The sky is still black. The world is still asleep. The day is coming. In a few moments, the day will arrive. It will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of the solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. It is now that I must make a choice, and so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstances. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Rather than complaining that the wait is too long, I will thank God for an opportunity and a moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone, kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for such is how God treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will see the good in others when it is hard to find. I will confess before I accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. I raise my voice. May it only be in praise to God. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek God's face. And then when the day is done, I will place my head on my pillow and rest in peace. We have to choose to walk by faith. We have to choose to be in Christ. We received him when we believed. Now it's a choice. Do we really believe what we say we believe? If so, then live it out by living in Christ. Don't live for him, because that's the devil's trick to get you to go down your to-do list. And as soon as you start down the to-do list, you're back in the self. The self life is a performer. The Christ life is a liver. Live in Christ as he lives in you. Thanks. Is that yours or is that George's?
Wow, that was great, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing that. thank you for saying. Nice to hear him saying, that big old baritone saying. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Here we go.
Well, I didn't make any notes, but I'll just do it off the top of my head. Well, the fasting thing was pretty tough to get started with. You know, and I'm thinking, like, when we first started, 21 days, wow, I don't know if I can do this. And, I messed up a few times, but I got back on track again. And I, I did hear from God intermittently. And the major thing was that, I'd been working for the city of Slidell as a building inspector. Well, this fellow over there at work had been giving me a tough time. So I heard from God that, yeah, it's okay to quit. So I resigned. You know, I resigned two Fridays ago. Gave him a two-week notice and then took a two-week vacation. So that was the last day I was there, you know. So anyway, so that's really, and you know, really, that job was really blocking me hearing from God. I mean, it really was. You know, I had put some security in the job thinking, oh, well, I got insurance now. I'm working on a pension, which I never had before. You know, but my trust is in God. It's not in somebody that you're working for, you know, that pays you. And so, I'm putting my trust back in God again. And, he's the scripture about, you know, by the little birds, he feeds the birds, you know. How much more is he going to take care of you? He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my wife, too, you know. So my trust is in him. And since I quit that job, you know, I kind of, like this last week, I kind of been going through like a, I don't know, maybe like a withdrawal kind of period, you know. So the whole 3 weeks was pretty tough because of that situation going on too, you know, and then the fast and all of that. But I'm out, I'm on top, I'm hearing from the Lord again, you know. I mean, we had a rehearsal at my house Friday night, and it was just awesome. You know, the presence of God was just there, and, you know, like I hadn't experienced in a while. So, you know, I don't know what else to say other than think I'm getting back in touch with God again, whereas before I was just, that job was just blocking me, you know, and amen. Hallelujah. So that's it.
Amen. Good testimony. Hallelujah. You know, I can't think of a better way to leave a job than in the middle of a fast. You know, that God's directing you and yeah, there's a lot more to come for you. I believe that. I just sense that there's a door that's open for you. And it's a familiar door in many ways, but the pathway may be a little different than you had anticipated. But when it's all said and done, as always, you will praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
This is triggered by Roe, but it's a word for all of us. And the scripture says, and this is in Psalms 50, I think it's verse 3 or 5, I can't remember. But it says that when you offer thanksgiving unto God, that your offering literally prepares a pathway for God to come and show you his great salvation. So in praise, and certainly Roe and his family has been called to the ministry of leaving, not only giving praise and worship themselves, but leading the body of Christ to places of worship and praise and thanksgiving. And I believe in from the word of the scripture that when we thank God and praise him, that we can look for the path. Start looking for your path because you've prepared a way for God to come and show you his great salvation.
Amen. Good word. Thank you.
This is something that I was in the back and the Lord was just, you know, just showing me just to share. But what do we know? What do we really know? Do we know we're going to heaven? Do we really know that? Yes, you can know it. You can know it. Or do you know that you're going to heaven to be with the Lord? Do you really know that? You know, and he was just the Spirit just kept on, you know, share this. You know what? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you really know? You know, and I know I'm going to heaven because I'm living there. I know. To live there is to know. You know, like just to know that God's with you and he's for you, he's not against you. And to know, like, you know, there's nothing in this world that we could depend on, because things change so much in the physical but the spiritual it never changes. God loves us, and that's never gonna change if you know it. If you know it. What do you know? What do you know? You know, do you know these things that God shows you every day? I mean, do you know it? You know? It's just, God just wanted me to share that.
Amen. It's a good word. Do you know? Do you know? Probably the most important question anybody can ever ask you. Do you know for sure? And then if you know Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Somebody else? You do. A lot of you were fasting. Don't miss a chance. This is the time to celebrate. I want to hear what you've been doing. There you go.
I've always read a little bit, maybe a verse, maybe a chapter. You know, I've always spent a little time with the Lord every day. But we were supposed to hunger and thirst. I can't get enough. I cannot get enough. It's just, you know, I've put on the Bible on my phone and listen on the way into work, and I have to sit in the parking lot to finish the chapter. And then at the end of the fast, I found my headphones where I could have been listening at work and going through more and more. But one verse, one chapter, not enough. It's not enough anymore. It just created that original yearning to know more and more and more of my Jesus, to know him in a more intimate way, to really spend time with him. Life is busy. You know, Errol has said, well, we go Tuesday, we go Wednesday, we go Thursday. We're just going all the time. And those are all important, but the time that I've spent in the Word, either on paper, which is what I prefer, or by having somebody read it to me. And there's a pause button on my phone, and it rewinds when I have to clarify something and back it up. So it's almost as if I'm reading it on paper, you know. The hunger and the thirst. I'd be so full of the Lord when I'd get to work. It'd be 2:00. And I was like, oh, I guess I better go get something to eat. I'm getting a little lightheaded.
Amen, amen. That's good fruit of fasting, good fruit of fasting. Yes, Miss Beverly. Wait a minute. George is going to run back there with the mic.
What Janine said reminded me of something. The other day I went to the Christian bookstore to get some cards for the church. And as the lady was ringing me up, a black lady walked in, and she says, the lady says, I'll be with you in a minute. I can wait. She said, I need several things. And she had a card in her hand. And she says, I'm reading the Bible from front to back. She says, I just started. And she says, I'm just so excited. She says, I just have to get a few things. She says, I started reading that Bible. She said it was better than watching The Young and the Restless. And I just started laughing. And then she said something about, and I was so busy just thinking about what she was saying. It was so cute that she said she read a story, and I don't remember which one she said. She says, and when I got through reading that story, she said, that was better than what Victor Newman does on the show. And she was in there to buy a Bible for a lady that didn't have one, she had one, but it was a little bitty baby one. And she come in there to buy a Bible for that lady, so that lady. And I just thought that was just so sweet that she was so high on the Lord, you know. And she just kept saying, this is way better than The Young and the Restless. She said, I can't. And I said, that's saying a lot, because most of these soap opera people love them soap operas.
Amen.
So glory to God that he drew a couple more in, you know.
Amen. Thank you. That's good testimony. Hallelujah. Okay. Y'all ready to move on? Well, I feel compelled just to tell you a little bit, my own personal testimony. I really look forward to the 21-day fast. This is our third year of doing it, each time I've gone into it, when I walk out the other side, I'm just amazed at how much I've experienced God and how much I've learned and how pleasant it's been for me. The difficulty, of course, dealing with food, and, you know, since it is a Daniel fast, if you like veggies, it's not too big a deal. If you hate veggies, it's a big deal. You know, and I hate veggies. I mean, I'd rather eat cardboard, and so, you know, it's just, I'm not a veggie person. But this year, when I entered the fast, it was as if everything that I knew and held on to just got stripped away. I just got hit so hard, so fast. I just couldn't catch my breath. It's the end of last year was not the best of years, as you know. I lost a dear friend. And that still stings really bad. So I was dealing with that. Going into the fast, I thought I'd get at least a refreshing in the fast. And I got so sick, I don't think I've been as sick in my entire life. I don't know how much I've said. I've written so many things in emails, so some of this you may know, some of you may not have heard it. But I was looking forward to the refreshing of the fast, but I got so sick, that my strength was gone. And I'm a pretty healthy guy. I tell you, I really don't get sick very often. I shake it off and move on. I don't have time to be sick. But this really wouldn't go away. And Pat was gracious enough to put her life on hold to try to help me, and she just sat and read the scriptures to me, just read the Bible, you know, just like you said the Bible, because that's the source of my life. And I wasn't in any shape to read. I mean, I was just terribly sick. And she just sat by me and read and read and read and read. And I could feel the refreshing of it. And I finally got where I couldn't sit up any longer. I told her I had to go lay down in bed. And I went and lay down, and she pulled up a chair next to the bed and just continued to read. And I finally fell asleep. Several hours. I don't know how long. A couple, 3-4 hours. And when I woke, I knew that what was happening to me was spiritual. I just knew. I just knew it was an onslaught of the enemy. So I told that to Pat, and I said, I think we need to walk our house. So we got up and held on to each other. I held on to her more than she held on to me. And we walked the entire house. I mean, we went in every closet, every room, I mean, we didn't stop. We went up in the attic, climbed across the rafters, and not a good thing to do when you're sick. But we did that. We went out in the garage. Just claiming the territory that belongs to us, you know, within our home, and not giving any quarter to the enemy. Well, you think that would give you the victory, but it didn't. Things got worse. They got worse. But I knew what it was. And so we fought on a spiritual basis. I didn't go to the doctor. I think we need to learn to be fighters. And I felt like I was learning something, and I didn't want to cave in and just go to the doctor and get another pill, another shot, or another whatever. Well, after over 2 weeks of this, I really got to the place where I thought, well, maybe I don't need to be stupid. You know, if you need to go to the doctor, maybe you need to go. So I finally told Pat, I said, if I can call the doctor, I think I want to go see. So I went, and he looked at me, and he said, I think you need to go in the hospital for 3 days or so, and we'll give you some IVs and some other things. He said, well, no, I don't really want to do that. You know, I'm not ready for the hospital. But so what can you do here? So he ran a bunch of tests and did blood cultures and a whole raft of things. And at the end of the testing, he did let me go home and gave me some pills to take back. I don't know what they were. One you take every 8 hours, one you take twice a day. But I don't know what they are. I just jumped in on a bandwagon of pills. Didn't get any better. Finally got the report back from the doctor. I went back that Monday, and he said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. There's no infection in your body. I've never run a fever. But I had all these symptoms and these things. And so in the midst of that, wondering what in the world is going on. I mean, last Sunday I didn't preach. I'm telling you what, I got to be almost dead not to come preach. I mean, that's just, I just don't quit. I don't give in. I don't quit. It's just my personality. But I knew that I just couldn't do it. You know, I was out of gas. So I asked Bob Rawls to come and he preached for me, and he did a great job, and I appreciated it. So I said all that to say this. Usually when I finish a fast, you know, I have kind of a direction, kind of know where we're going to go, where's the church, and what, you know. And I sense, and I'm really giving you a preliminary because I don't have the final definitive word from the Lord yet, but I sense we're going to learn some things about healing this year. I believe that's where the Lord's taken me. I've really been reading a lot in the scriptures and trying to focus in on it, and I'm realizing that I don't know a whole lot about healing. I really don't. I probably know more than the average bear, but I don't know enough. So one of the things that I discovered is that there's healing. Sickness comes from at least three places that I've discovered. One is just we bring it on ourselves. I mean, we don't take care of ourselves. We overindulge, we smoke, we just, you know, all the things that can actually bring sickness on us. That's one way sickness comes. The other way, which was really the onslaught that I discovered, was the spiritual implications of it, where the devil himself can bring sickness to us. The question is, what do we do when he comes? All right, and that's, I don't have the answer right now, other than to draw near to God, resist the devil, and says he'll flee from you. I've learned that just having mental information about that's not enough. We really fought through this thing. The third thing is we just live in a fallen world. Rocks are going to fall on you. Planes are going to fall out of the sky. Somebody sitting next to you has got some contagious something, and they coughed it all over you. You know, you just get stuff. I mean, it's where we are. God did never intended for you to die, and he never intended for you to be sick. Never. That's not an original plan. What's happened to us is because we're a fallen people. The thing that we're going to struggle through, and the next couple of months, I don't know how long, as I'm studying on it right now, is what are the promises of God that we have concerning sickness as believers? What can we do? What will work and what won't work? So we're going to be doing some studying on that, and we'll be learning together, okay? So that's kind of my plan for the next couple of months of preaching and teaching. So if you have any insight into that, let me know. Something that you know that I don't know. If I know it, don't tell me. But you may not know I know it unless you tell me, all right? So, but I just want to tell you, that's where I was. I'm glad the fast is over. Hopefully I'll get better now. Just listen to your testimonies this morning. It's just a real encouragement to me. What that?
Right here. It says in Isaiah, your health will spring forth speedily.
Amen. I got a lot of head knowledge, but I got to get it into another part of me to understand some things. Miss Denise.
I didn't want to say anything until you gave your testimony, but as I was praying for you one morning, it was kind of like, I don't know, okay, what is this fasting doing for you? Look at your leader. And, you know, he's sick, and so why continue to fast when the man of God himself who declared to fast is down? And so it got me to thinking, and I told Mike when he came home, I said, Pastor Morris is really in a spiritual battle right now. And him being in a spiritual battle is affecting us as his congregation and believers. Are we going to throw in the towel and just quit because our leader is sick? And one of the things that came to my mind was, you always stand up and say, fasting has never killed anybody.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
And so that, you know, that was playing on my mind as a group of believers, you know, are we looking at this as maybe something that the enemy is trying to take our leader out or what? And so it made me even more stronger in my fasting to hang in there, because I told Mike, I said, through it all, and this has been one of the least spiritual fast I've ever done, but I told Mike, through it all, deep down, I know that God's moving and I know he's doing something. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I knew that you were in a spiritual battle, but I don't think it was just basically for you. I think it was for us.
Amen.
As your congregation, to see where we would stand.
Amen.
If we would throw in the towel and quit. And
Amen.
So,
thank you. That's a good word, Denise. And I really do receive that. Okay? It's a good word. The enemy's tried to take me out a couple of times. When I was involved in a time of prayer before I started in the Beginning Church, and really probably the most awesome time I've ever had in prayer, and some of you heard the story. And I was, you know, no accolades to me, but I guess I was kind of leading it in the church I was in. At the highest place I've ever been in a relationship with the Lord, I ended up in the bottom of my boat with my arm whacked off, bleeding. I believe it was attempted murder.
Yes.
We've got, you know, I said, well, why didn't God protect you? I don't have the answer to that. I'm telling you what was going on spiritually.
Yeah.
And so I sense that something spiritually great is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it all is, but the enemy is, for whatever reason, decided to take a couple of shots at me. Mm-hmm. So y'all continue to pray for Pat and I, all right, as we lead his church fellowship. Yes, ma'am.
On the end of Denise's testimony or word there, I was just about to get up before she took the mic to tell you that the very last thing you said that Sunday when we started this fast was, if you don't have anything to pray for especially, pray for me. That's right. And I did remember to pray for you. And I had a conversation with Sister Pat, and I told her you were under a demonic attack. I knew that. But at the same time, God gave me witness that that was true because the devil attacked me. And I told her that. That for 2 days, I could hardly stand up and walk. I had such terrible pains in my legs and my knees that I couldn't hardly walk. And I knew that was a demonic attack against me. And I said, oh, no, devil, you're not doing this to me. I took authority and dominion over him. I cursed and broke the power of that thing. I said, and get out of my body. You have no place here because I belong to the Most High God. I am the property of God, and so are you. And I prayed for you, and I took authority over that when we thought it was an infection. I cursed that thing at the root cause, and I commanded it to die instantly, which I shared with her on the phone. And as a result of that prayer, they came back and said you had no infection in your body, okay? The next thing was the Lord began to have me speak a word of faith for you. And I kept speaking into the atmosphere and sending a word directly to you. Arise and be healed. Rise up off the bed of affliction, for you are the servant of the Lord. Arise and be healed. Rise up off the bed of affliction. I kept on praying that for you. And I prayed that God would have you here in perfect health this Sunday morning. And here you are. Amen. And you are right. You are right. We are on the brink and the verge of some great things that are coming ahead. And God is teaching all of us the things that I have been through that I shared in my testimony. I've never been through those things before in my life in the same manner. And so I know that God is moving us into a higher realm if, like Janine said, if we are hungry and thirsty enough to keep moving, to keep pressing on to the prize of the mark of the high calling Amen. In him. Amen. That's the secret. Amen. That's the secret.
Amen.
Keep pressing.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Rose. Okay. Anybody else? Because I'm about to move on. We're going to phase two. Don't worry about the sermon. I know it's getting late, but don't worry about it. We've got all day. We used to have all day. What do you used to say? Dinner on the grounds. What do you used to say? All day dinner on the grounds or something like that. It's an old Baptist thing. I don't know. Any Baptists here? Ms. Pat?
I just wanted to reiterate something I'd said earlier, and the niece also said it, was to not believe what your eyes see in the natural. You know, God, these things I read from Isaiah, you know, God said, this is it. God said, this is what would happen. And so I believe that God is doing so many things that we can't see. But I do believe that as we look, he will open our eyes and allow it. We will see things. We will see. We just haven't seen them all yet. But you know, don't think God hasn't done very much in this fast. God has moved heaven and earth. He has moved heaven and earth, and we're going to see it. And part of what has happened to me in this fast is the Lord opened my eyes so much to see all that he did last year. You know, where I've seen so many lives changed and people helped and people growing in the Lord. And I've literally seen just explosions in people's lives. And so the Lord let me see that. You know, just going through this vast now, all the things that he had done before, and I had just not noticed it. But now, I want eyes open, ears open, mind open, and a heart to believe, be filled. Amen.
Amen. Okay.